Jerry Kerwin, one of our fathers, is going to read.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I love being here with you all. Everybody knows I like to talk, so I'm going to talk a little bit, just a tiny. I know we have time. I just have to share God's blessings, and there's no better place that I would want to share them with my family here. I mean, God is awesome. He really is. I just can't believe how he wanted to work in my life and partner with me. Afraid kid, did no good in school, afraid of his own shadow. Man, he changed my life. He just blessed me today because I haven't seen my boys in a little bit. And I trust God. I know he is good. And I do trust him. But my son walked through the door today, and I haven't seen him in a while. I didn't think I was going to see him. I'm sorry. But he blessed me, man. I mean, he is awesome. And I just... Man, when you trust God, when you just lay down your own life, he just comes in and just amazes you. I mean, just I encourage you all, just trust him no matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on. Just trust him, man. I mean, he took me, he gave me a biological father that was robbing things, was doing drugs, wasn't in my life at all. And my mother was on welfare. She was on 17 years old, welfare, food stamps, taking care of me by herself, got kicked out of her house because she got pregnant with me. And man, God brought my stepfather in to protect me and to take care of me to grow up because my biological father couldn't. But through my biological father, many years later, about 12 years ago, when I finally met him, he died. And praise God, he's in heaven, I believe, with God, a better place than here. And through that, I met his sister, my aunt, who brought me to Jesus and gave me salvation and gave me a new life. I mean, God is amazing. You just have to trust him. And I encourage you to do that if you haven't already. And I know even when we do trust him, we go through times where it's a struggle. But he is faithful. He wants to partner with every one of us. He is faithful. He is our friend. He is a good, good father, a father that touches us with mercy and grace and forgiveness. And one more thing I'm going to share is because I had a brother call me this morning who's going through a tough time, man, tough time. He was wrestling with God, and he was apologizing to God today because he had hate in his heart and because he was angry. And he called me up just to share how the Holy Spirit spoke to him and reminded him about 3 months ago we did a Bible study that reminded us that God, our Father, is kind and gentle and patient, and he's slow to anger. That's our Father. That's our Father, man. And as he had the Spirit speak to him and he stopped, he opened up the daily devotional. And would you know, that's right what the daily devotional was speaking, that he is kind, gentle, slow to anger. So he is a good, good Father. Just trust him. Amen. Praise be to God. I'm going to read from God's mighty word, his wisdom, from 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. So be the word of God.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You heard the reading of God's word from this passage, the Apostle Paul writing. If you were to choose one of the following as a lifelong career, which one would it be? Teacher, soldier, athlete, or farmer? Let me just pause for a moment. Are we getting too much feedback? Maybe Shane, just feedback on my mic. Which one would you choose? Teacher, soldier, athlete, or farmer? Now consider the pros and the cons of each of those. A teacher that's involved in people's lives, students, encouraging, mentoring, and so forth. A soldier that trains for warfare. An athlete who trains for competition with a goal in a race, let's say. Or a farmer who has to work hard. Which one of those would you choose? Each one has very special qualities, and the Apostle Paul has chosen to use them to teach us, certainly men, and we focus on men today because it is Father's Day, but this passage is for everyone, men, women, teens. God wants fathers, and he wants men and women to live out the qualities of all four, not just, I think I'll pick this quality and forget the other ones. No, all four qualities. 2 Timothy's theme is reliable men. Just pause and let that soak into your thought life for a moment. God's word challenging us that God wants reliable men. That's how he wants us to live. So our theme is reliable men who will live like teachers, soldiers, athletes, and farmers. Pause. That's God's word to you. So don't hide behind the person in front of you. Don't hide behind the chair. Don't hide behind the thought, well, that's not for me. It's for you. He does not desire us simply to live as teachers or as athletes, but all four of these qualities. And so we need to unpack them to see how applicable they are in our present lives. Comes under this umbrella of being reliable men, strong men. Strong men. He's not talking about bodybuilders or guys that just lift a lot of free weights and those types of things. He's talking about strong men according to God's abilities and qualities. I mentioned my father stopped drinking when I was 15. As far as I know, he was not a professing Christian, not a professing follower of Jesus. But I'll tell you one thing. I respect my father. And he was a tough character. I didn't want to tangle with him. Now, one time in my life, I put my fist up to him. And I feel terrible today for doing that. But he had huge arms. He was a truck driver, coal miner. And he taught us this. You may not like this. He said, if you fight, and he knew we would fight, physical fight, my two brothers and I. He said, if you come up against somebody that's bigger than you, don't worry. Just get something that he called an equalizer. He said, I don't care what it is. Get it. Get a brick. Get a club, get a bat, get a gun. Get an equalizer. He carried a pistol all the time. He wanted us to be strong from a secular, man-centered approach. But here Paul is talking about strong men. And in my 44 years of being a pastor, I look back now, I'm kind of in those golden years of ministry, so to speak. And I look back and I go, Lord, what are some of the things that stand out in where I have served you in various places and traveled and preached and taught? You know, one thing comes back that's just there. It's like it's there. I can't get away from it. It's that God wants strong men. He doesn't want wimpy men. And I can look back now and I sit here and I, or stand here and I contemplate, okay, Edinburgh Road Chapel for 25 years almost now in Maryland and Connecticut. And faces come. I can't help it. And they come to my mind and I go, oh, Lord, that was a strong brother. That was a strong man. And then, Lord, man, he was a wimp. What happened? What happened? Well, this awesome passage speaks about being reliable men, and yes, women, but we're primarily focusing on men. So ladies, don't think it's not for you. It's God's word for you too. We want to look at these four examples that Paul gives us and draw from them the things that God wants us to see and to incorporate into our lives to become strong men, reliable men. And the first one is teacher. Qualified to teach others. Qualified meaning being prepared to teach. Others, quite obvious, meaning our responsibility to other people. People that need to be taught. So men and women, the Lord is calling you and appointed you to the awesome responsibility of being a teacher. You go, nope, not me. Yes, you. If you have any desire to be a follower of Jesus and become the kind of man or woman that God wants you to be, God's saying you're to be a teacher. Now, eliminate from your mind any concept of teaching in public school. Well, certainly it could involve that. Or teaching in college or university. It may involve that, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about teaching others within the context of the body of Christ, in the context of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. So don't, let me be as gentle as I can. Don't try to hide behind the chair or the person in front of you, because I'm telling you right now, God's finger is pointing at you. Not my finger, just, you know, dramatically. God's finger is pointing at you, saying, are you following Jesus? Are you one of my children? Are you living in my kingdom? Do you want to be a strong man? Do you want to be a reliable man? Or woman, of course. You're a teacher, and you need to be a qualified teacher. See, if we're not qualified, we need to get qualified. Unreliable men shirk from that God-given responsibility, and in society and in life, instead of being the teacher that God appointed them to be it in their own home with their own children or their grandchildren or where they work or where they play or where they associate with people, God wants us to be teachers. Unreliable men, weak men, wimpy men shirk that responsibility and they say, that's not my responsibility. I'm going to heaven. I've given my life to Jesus and when I die, I'm going to heaven. But this stuff about being a teacher and teaching others, no. I'll let the pastors of the world do that. I'll let the public school teachers do that. Or maybe I'll let my wife do that with my kids. Or if there's a problem, I'll let the grandmother or the grandparents do that. So I believe one of the biggest cultural breakdowns in our society is the problem we have with men. We don't have enough strong men. We don't have reliable men, men that God has touched their lives. I'm talking about Christian men. That they're listening to God's voice and God is saying, you're a teacher. You teach your children. You teach your grandchildren. Say, reliable men will teach, because that's an appointment, that's an anointing of God on their lives when they seek to please Him. Are you teaching others? Are you teaching others in your life? Second one is soldier. I don't know what that one does to you. Maybe it grabs you and you go, wow, that's kind of exciting. You know, I don't want this teacher stuff, but man, I might go for the soldier one. Maybe. Listen to God's word here. A good soldier of Jesus Christ who does not get involved in civilian affairs, he wants to please his commanding officer. What that challenges us to is, what dominates your time in your life? Now, we do this at Veterans Day and Memorial Day, but let me just see a show of hands. How many of you have served in some capacity in the military? Okay, some of you. Go Navy, yeah, right. Yeah, go Navy. But anyway, God-pleasing men, reliable men, strong men, they will be good soldiers following Jesus. And good soldiers do not get mixed up and entangled to the point that civilian life trips them up. Now, having spent 4 years in the Navy a long time ago, I know that when you take that oath, and you guys that have been there, you know, when you take that oath, you no longer are a civilian. Right, John? John Flager, Marines? And so here you are, you're in the military, and you need a lawyer. Where do you go to get a lawyer? You go to the military. If you need a dentist, where do you go? You go to the military. If you need a doctor, you go there. If you want to go to the store, you primarily go to the base exchange or whatever, you know. And you are no longer your own. Now, without, and don't picture any kind of legalistic thing here, but actually you even have to wear their clothes, you know. Now, of course, we know that that's not 100%. You can wear civilian clothes. But the point is, this whole picture that is a soldier following Jesus, you are no longer your own. You are no longer your own. You will not get entangled in civilian life to the point that that's what dominates and controls you. Civilian life meaning life outside of Jesus' kingdom. And I know that your mind may run in 1,000 directions and down a bunch of rabbit trails and kind of get lost here in the shuffle, but I hope that doesn't happen. But a good soldier is someone that follows their commanding officer. And having spent boot camp in the Navy years ago in San Diego, California, when our company commander said, jump, you better jump. And you know the phrase, if he said jump 6 inches, it better not be 7. You did what the commanding officer, and in basic training, your commanding officer or your company commander, at least in the Navy, said you had to do. Army, Marines, and Air Force, the same thing. Here's the point. You don't do what you want. Could end the sermon right there, right? You don't do what you want. Strong men, reliable men, becoming soldiers, they have been recruited and they have joined the kingdom. And they serve under the leadership of the commanding officer of Jesus Christ. And see, today, this very moment, Jesus is saying, you're my soldier. You're my soldier. You want to be a strong man and woman, of course. You want to be a reliable man? You got to be my soldier. Don't get entangled with stuff that's going to trip you up and take you away from my purpose in your life. Jesus Christ is our commanding officer, and his words become our marching orders. Jesus is the very captain of our souls, if you please, our whole life. He is our priority. Our life should revolve around him. And I don't say that just to be nice sermon cliche stuff. Our life should revolve around Jesus. So I am blessed as a man. I am blessed with this wonderful wife and my 4 children and 11 grandchildren and 9 great-grandchildren. I mean, it's awesome. To just even say that, I can't even believe I'm saying that, you know. I can't be that old. Yesterday, Rick Crutchley and Skip Oldick and I drove an hour and a half up to Macungie, Pennsylvania, to the antique truck show. We had a good time. And I found some old license plates. And I was born in southwestern Pennsylvania, in a little town southwest of Pittsburgh. And I found a Pennsylvania license plate of the year that I was born. Now, do you think that license plate was nice and shiny and all the paint was just perfect? It's kind of rusty and bent a little bit, but I had to buy it for $10. Because on it was Pennsylvania, 1945, the year I was born. So I am blessed. But more important in my life than my wife and my children and my grandchildren and great-grandchildren is Jesus Christ. He's my commanding officer. He knows what's best for me. Are you a good soldier of Jesus? Third group that Jesus says we're to be like, and that is the athlete, or the one that competes. God's word. If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. I have to mention this, so some of you don't get upset with me. Athletes compete by the rules. Pittsburgh Penguins won the Stanley Cup. Okay. Whew, got that out of the way. It's in my notes, by the way. But most of us like athletics and sports and football and hockey and baseball and track and field and NASCAR and drag racing. And we like sports. And Paul, of course, I think liked sports, and he knew the culture of the Roman Empire of his day. And so he talks about competing as an athlete, that if you're going to run the race with a goal, there's a purpose, there's a finish line, you run according to the rules. You want to receive the victor's crown. And the runner would accept and receive this great honor if he ran by the rules and he completed the race, the rules that were set by those in authority over him. Keyword, authority. Men and women, the Lord has called you and he's appointed you to be an athlete. As you run the race of life and you compete for the highest victor's crown of both abundant life and eternal life and completing the God-given purpose for your life. Who is the ultimate authority in your life? Who is the ultimate authority in your life? And are you competing and running the race of life for his purpose for your life? Or are you running alone? Are you running without the authority of Jesus Christ? Are you running without the authority of his word? The very creator of the universe. You've abandoned that. Or you've put it aside. Or you've compromised it. And you're living life. You're running this race of life that we all have to run. We all live. We all face death. Are you running it without God? Are you running it without Jesus? Or you put him on a back burner and you said, I can do it. I can make it myself. I can run. I don't need him. you will never, never be a winner. According to God's standard, you will never receive his crown, the victor's crown of eternal life, of completing everything that he has called you to do and be, his purpose for your life. In those wonderful moments when we stand in his presence and he goes, "Well done, good and faithful servant." No crown of gold, no amount of money, no jewels can be placed on us that is greater than to hear those words from Jesus. When we run the race that he's called us and completed the purpose that he's given in our lives, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Reliable men run with Jesus. Are you running your life with Jesus Christ? Okay, one more. And maybe you have chosen this one and said, boy, this matter of being a farmer. How many of you ever worked on a farm? A couple. John, I know you worked on a farm. My oldest son, Mark, by the way, my oldest son, Mark, is a grandfather. 5 grandchildren. This blows my head, you know. He worked on a farm. He and his best friend, Mike, who Mike became his brother-in-law by marrying my oldest daughter. They worked on a farm in high school and right after high school for a short time. Man, it about killed them. Hard work. They built hay and they picked watermelons and they did all kind of stuff. Listen to the language here. The hard-working farmer should be first to receive a share of the crops. In the New Testament, farmers and harvest focus on doing the work of the Lord that he has called us to do in his kingdom. His kingdom. His kingdom. And what a privilege it is to work with Jesus in the harvest field. And the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. And he says, dependable men, strong men will work with me in the harvest field. They will work with me. Or are you running from God's work in your life? See, that's his purpose. That's his ministry within his kingdom that he has called you to do. And yes, he's called us to do hard work. It's probably not even fair for me to address that here in the United States in a beautiful Sunday in a comfortable building with electricity and flush toilets and air conditioning. Because what if I was addressing this? God has called us to be reliable men and women, strong men and women, that are like hardworking farmers, and I was speaking that in Sudan or Tunisia. Boy, when I go through my notes during the week, and one of the last things I do on Sunday morning at home before I walk over here, I look at my, I'm going through my notes, and there are moments where God says, just watch what you say at this point. And it's at this point, Lord, it's your words. We cannot be lazy Christians. If I were to put my finger on something in the United States in the evangelical church, is that we are bombarded with lazy Christians. I'm not judging their eternal destiny, whether they make it to heaven or not. That is not my call. I'm talking about being hardworking farmers, facing the difficulties of being a follower of Jesus and working in the harvest field, where in the United States it's basically fairly easy. But you go to other cultures and other countries where it may be very hard. Now, I know that this is going to date me. But some of you remember the old TV show, and I was very, very, very young when it was popular. It was the Dobie Gillis, and he had this guy, Maynard G. Krebs. And anytime the word work was mentioned, he'd go, work! He ran from work. He was what back then was called a hippie. Yeah, he was a beatnik. Yeah. He was pre-hippie days. He couldn't stand work. I think sometimes Christians can fall into that. I'm a follower of Jesus. I got my life together. Life is good, you know. I'm married and I have family and stuff is going great. And I know that's not true for everybody. We go through difficult moments. But sometimes we slip into everything's fine. Life is good. And work. Man, I'm going to run from work. Jesus, you're calling me to be a hardworking farmer in your kingdom? No way. No way. Just kind of give me a little task to do, you know, so it kind of look like I'm being busy for Jesus. I don't want no hard stuff now. Not me, Jesus. No. He doesn't want lazy farmers. Lazy farmers have to be involved in seeing the harvest brought in. Now, I know I'll use John Flager. He's sitting on the front row. I can pick on him. So front row is really nice. If next Sunday, front row is really good stuff. John has worked as a farmer, and he's baled hay, and he's driven hay trucks all over the East Coast, you know, down to Miami and New York and all these places. And I know those guys can work hard, even with modern equipment. They think of working hard, sweating, and toiling, and the labor that goes there. See, Jesus does not call us to an easy task. And again, lovingly, he's pointing the finger at you. And you can't hide. You can't say, no, 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 not me. That's Joe, or that's Mary. No, it's not me. Don't even do that. You. To be a reliable man or woman, a strong man following Jesus in his kingdom, a strong woman, hardworking farmer, I will work with you, Jesus, in seeing the harvest reached and brought in. And what an awesome privilege that is. See, someday we're going to sit down in heaven. Maybe sit down. I'm going to run around. By the way, if you're looking for me in heaven, you know where to go. Front row. That's where I'm going to be. Purple robe. I don't know about the purple robe. But someday we're going to be there and somebody's going to come up and say, hey, man, your words. Remember your words in that restaurant or on that job or on that airplane or wherever? Man, that created a hunger in me to know God, to know Jesus. And I'm here today because of you. Part of the harvest. Where that person that right this very moment is reading the Bible for the very first time will say in Tunisia, because a transporter smuggled those Bibles in to that country and they found it and they're reading about Jesus and they get to heaven and there's the transporter that smuggled the Bibles in and they say, I know you. You got that Bible to me. You risked everything. You were willing to be a hardworking farmer. Are you a farmer for Jesus? God has called us to be reliable men and women, strong men and women, men and women who live as teachers where we're involved in teaching others in his kingdom, soldiers who will not get entangled with civilian stuff, but follow the marching orders of our commanding officer. Athletes who will compete according to the rules, live under the authority of Jesus, and finish the race of his purpose for our life. And certainly as hardworking farmers, working with Jesus in his kingdom to see the harvest reached. Are you a reliable man? Are you a reliable woman today? Are you a reliable mother, father? Become that teacher, that soldier, that athlete, that farmer that he wants you to become. Let's stand for prayer. I'm going to pray. No raised hands in terms of the question that I'm going to ask. No coming forward. Certainly, you're always welcome to do that, but that's not my invitation today. My invitation is primarily to you men, and yes, to women. Jesus, today, I seal it. I make this commitment in my heart, in the quietness of my heart. I will become that strong man, that reliable woman. I will be that teacher. I will be that soldier. I will be that athlete. I will be that hardworking farmer. Make that commitment to Jesus today. Father, you're so awesome. What wonderful privilege to know you, sovereign creator, that no detail of our life is missed. You orchestrate it all so wonderful. It is a privilege, a humbling privilege to know you, Jesus. Speak to us as men, as fathers and grandfathers, to become those strong, reliable men. Bless us now as we leave this building to breathe in your presence, the conscious awareness of your presence moment by moment. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. We're dismissed.